relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
The deep state is a phrase I was reluctant to use at first when I was in the White House. It felt a little conspiratorial, a little bit tinfoil hatty. But then I saw it, then I lived it, and then I understood that the permanent bureaucracy is very, very real. And they don't care who the president is because they think they have power over all elected officials. This was why they had to take out General Mike Flynn, because he knew who they were and he was serving a president who had nothing to do with the deep state, and that's why he had to be framed. Two individuals who have courageously been committed to the truth for many years now, especially when it comes to General Mike Flynn, are John Solomon and Sarah Carter. Individuals that embody what it means not only to be a journalist, but to be a true investigative reporter. Wherever the trail takes you, that is where you go, because that is the definition of being a truth seeker. Sarah Carter is with Fox News. You can follow her at sarahacarter.com. John Solomon, with a sterling career in numerous press organizations over the decades, recently created his own news agency, justthenews.com. You can follow him at J. Solomon Reports, and we're going to have them revisit the question of the deep state and what they did to a man who had served his nation for decades, ending up as not only director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, but also the incoming national security advisor to the non-politician Donald J. Trump, who became our commander-in-chief. We have for the whole hour the OG team of Russia collusion and uncovering the truth. It is, of course, Sarah Carter and John Solomon in studio. Thank you guys for joining us.
Oh, so glad to be here.
Yeah. Really, the OG team. I mean, there is only one OG team, and it's you guys.
We're the old school gangsters.
Indeed. John, I'm going to go full disclosure here. This is an age of the woo flu. Steve, if you're listening, hi. Had to give him a shout out. He does our liners. and you guys are dedicated. You're not only in studio. You called me up today and you said, I've got this massive story, FOIA documents. Mm-hmm. We're working so hard. But you came in studio. I have to pay it forward. Mm. Tell us about this story.
So we have a couple. One is the one that just broke a little bit ago. John Podesta, in his second interview with the House Intelligence Committee, acknowledge what Christopher Steele acknowledged, which is that Hillary Clinton was read into the Russian intelligence. She knew that there was a Russia research project on Donald Trump.
So let's stop for a second. Yeah. Podesta,
right,
is like number one advisor to Hillary.
Absolutely.
Campaign manager, and the Russia collusion theory was based upon a dossier that was paid for by the DNC and Hillary Clinton. Now we have proof from John Podesta in 2016.
Absolutely. So he testifies December 2017 that during the campaign, Mrs. Clinton was aware that, one, they had bought opposition research and that it was focused on Donald Trump's connections to Russia. So she was in on the whole gig. Did she know it was Christopher Steele? Maybe not. Doesn't matter. She knew what they were trying to do, which was to find any dirt they could on Donald Trump to dirty him up during the election.
So Hillary Clinton was fully cognizant of the smear campaign against her political rival that used, and let's be clear, Christopher Steele isn't, you know, Joe Blow. Christopher Steele is a former MI6 spy who was posted to Moscow. So this is, are people registered as FARA agents? Is there any FARA crimes here, maybe?
Probably not FARA, because he wasn't trying to lobby a government, you're trying to influence an election. But, you know, listen.
just that little minor detail.
I think the bigger issue here is now that what we know is that where he was getting his information was right from Russian intelligence services, which means Mrs. Clinton was directly involved in funneling Russia intelligence misinformation into our election to influence the election.
To influence an election. Yeah. That's a big point. The second story you said at Justin News.
Yep, not ready yet. It's going to break tomorrow, but I'll give you a little taste of it. We have some new documents from the State Department that I think will be eye-opening about the Ukraine Joe Biden Hunter Biden story.
Something that
maybe some of the witnesses during the impeachment proceedings forgot to tell us.
Forgot to tell us or intentionally didn't.
Imagine that.
He now has his
accidentally memory loss.
Indeed. Yes, he has his own news agency now. It's called Just the News. Follow him at J. Solomon Reports on Twitter and check out every single day justthenews.com. Sarah Carter DC on Twitter. Your take on the significance of just the last week's revelations with regards to the Flynn trial.
I think that it culminated, I mean, especially for John and I, after 3.5 years, nearly 4 years of digging through documents, talking to sources, exposing piece by piece what happened here during this Russia hoax investigation by the FBI. And you know what? I don't even want to say Russia hoax, because in a way I feel that this was their narrative, right? That they weaponized, like we have said from the beginning, both the intelligence community as well as federal law enforcement against their own country. So here we have people that we entrusted, that we trust to do the right thing, weaponizing the system against their own president, a duly elected president of the United States. And by the way, that's really important what John, you know, with John Podesta, what John Solomon just talked about, my colleague John, because we know from the very beginning, and remember when it all came out, that Hillary Clinton and the DNC paid for this dossier. Now I'm talking to people in England who are saying, look, Christopher Steele's dossier is so full of lies, not just Russian disinformation, but information that he just made up, right. Information that he just made up, and then they disseminated through mainstream media outlets.
And a so-called dossier that was built, now we know, on the solitary source, that is subsource one, mm-hmm. that was in the Department of Justice's IG report, who wasn't even talked to when the first FISA warrant was issued against the Trump campaign. Yeah. And secondly, Glenn Simpson, the allegations that were in that dossier actually appeared, what was it, 6 years ago, John, in an article by Glenn Simpson? Yeah. Six-year-old allegations that were literally cut and paste by Christopher Steele, mixed in with some Russian propaganda into a dossier, and that's what was used to spawn a Trump campaign.
Political dirty trick and the worst type, you know, and accuracy went out the window. All the things that the FBI says it does, all the things Rod Rosenstein and James Comey said, oh, we did a FISA, we do it really carefully. None of it was done carefully. It was done in haste because there was a political motive, not a counterintelligence motive. And I think back now, we look, and Sarah was so right about this in the early reporting, January of 2017, the case was entirely gone. When they interview Subsource mm-hmm. One and he says, I didn't say that stuff.
Right. The stuff that's in the dossier, I didn't tell Christopher Steele.
Right.
Right.
That's a red flag. That's the point. They should have stopped it, mailed it home, said we're done.
And then we have the latest incredible findings that on the one hand, you have the acting attorney general, Sally Yates, say that Flynn was targeted for Logan Act violations, meaning of private citizen who is getting involved without authority in foreign policy in the United States. A, he was the national security advisor designate of the presidential transition team in December 2016 when he made the call to the Russian he's not a private citizen. No. He's doing his job. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, what do we find out in the recent court filings? That he wasn't charged with regard to the Logan Act.
And there's a reason why.
Because?
Mary McCord, the national security direct division head, had determined that it would have been a stretch to apply the act to him because he was doing his job.
He was actually working. I mean, he's part of the transition team. Let me
just be clear here, full disclosure. I was one of the people preparing those phone calls. Mm-hmm. I was on his transition team, and, you know, we have the British National Security Advisor wants to talk to Mike Flynn, which is our job, and we were in a federal building paid for by the GSA to help the new campaign turn into a transition to take over the administration. We were doing our job. So how do you get charged for doing your job? And what were in those findings? What were in those scribbled notes from Bill Priestap? Do you remember?
Oh, are you talking about that they wanted to set him up?
Why are we interviewing
him
Mike Flynn?
Or make him lie?
So this is the one of the biggest things that we have handwritten notes from inside the FBI, apparently from the director of counterintelligence, Bill Priestap, at the time, asking the question to Comey, to McCabe, why are we sending two agents to see Mike Flynn, the new national security advisor? Is it to make him lie? To prosecute him for lying or get him fired?
Or get him fired.
That's the Soviet Union. That's Venezuela. That's Cuba. That's not the FBI's job is not to get people fired. So much more. We just scratched the surface with John Solomon, Sarah Carter. Follow them right now. Sarah Carter, DC on Twitter, and Jay Solomon Reports, justthenews.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First with our 3-hour Obamagate special. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't you dare touch that dial.
Russia? Ukraine? Impeachment? What the hell was that all about?
That is the question for the day, and we are doing our darndest. Is that allowed, FCC? Is that allowed? Well, I said it anyway. It's too late. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Be a good friend to this show. Be a good friend to Salem. And also, get yourself a good night's sleep by going to MyPillow.com right now. I use MyPillow. The president uses MyPillow. Oh, and by the way, Mike Lindell has sold 45 million of them. Whether it's the mattress topper, the pillow, the body pillow, the travel pillow, the Egyptian cotton Giza dream sheets, the pet bed, you name it, you can get up to 50% off if you use my name because you are a friend of America First. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code Gorka, G-O-R-K-A, for those massive discounts. We are back with none other than Sarah Carter and John Solomon, the two people who have really, in my opinion, done the most for the longest when it comes to uncovering the truth of the Russia hoax. We're going to be talking. We've had Lee Smith. We've had Chris Farrell. We're going to have Dan Hoffman, Greg Jarrett. Matt Gaetz is going to be with us. But from the get-go, you have been fighting. They tried to smear you, John, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, they didn't succeed. But
of course not.
They're a little.
Have they tried to take you down?
Oh, I mean, John and I have had our share of lumps, you know, throughout the years. But I think that the truth always set us apart, you know, especially when we're dealing with Russia's story and we were dealing with Christopher Steele. Now it appears that people that actually won Pulitzers for some of their work should probably be returning those Pulitzers because their stories have been proven false.
Well, we could give out your mailing address and they can just send it to Justin News offices.
Yeah,
just
send it to Justin News. Right? I'd send it back.
Well, you know, the sad thing here is, John, and you tell me if I'm wrong, you know, there are so many reporters and journalists, good journalists, and I'm not going to take it away from them to you, that they've done their job, but they trusted. And they trusted the director or the former director of the CIA, John Brennan. They trusted James Clapper. They trusted all of these senior officials. And when it came to this story, they trusted them again. Why? Yeah. Because they had leaked information to them in the past.
That's right.
And they just thought, there's no way he's lying to us. How could the CIA director, John Brennan, lie to us? How could James Clapper lie to us? That's what these journalists thought. But instead of doing their job and actually asking them for proof that our president-elect, then Donald Trump, was a Manchurian candidate, they just chose to believe it hook, line, and sinker, write the stories.
And none of them have retracted it. None of them have apologized. That's a difference. Let's give them the facts. There's so many players that have been thrown out there that we have to label correctly and know their role in peace in all of this. Let's watch a video cut from Congressman Jim Jordan about a certain quote-unquote Maltese professor who plays a central part in the Russia collusion hoax. Eric, let's play video cut number four. Play video.
You can charge 13 Russians no one's ever heard of, no one's ever seen. No one's ever going to hear of them. No one's ever going to see them. You can charge them. You can charge all kinds of people who are around the president with false statements. But the guy who launches everything, the guy who puts this whole story in motion, you can't charge him. I think that's amazing.
I'm not certain I agree with your characterization.
Well, I'm reading from your report. Mifsud told Papadopoulos. Papadopoulos tells the diplomat. The diplomat tells the FBI. The FBI opens the investigation July 31st, 2016. And here we are 3 years later, July of 2019. The country's been put through this. And the central figure who launches it all lies to us. And you guys don't hunt him down and interview him again. And you don't charge him with a crime.
Who is Joseph Mifsud, John?
Well, he's a professor at Link University in Italy. And he says, according to his lawyer in the deposition that I was able to read that he gave in 2018, he was an occasional asset for Western intelligence. He would do individual missions for Western intelligence.
So not Russia?
No.
Nope. Western intelligence.
That's what his lawyer says, and that's what his deposition says. I've read his deposition. But we really don't know, and the fact that we don't know is very disturbing. I think even more important about what happened with Mifsud, you know, Mifsud's the first guy to meet with Papadopoulos. He allegedly introduces him to Putin's niece, who turns out to just be a college student.
Right.
It's a total setup.
Classic
false flag operation in intelligence world. After the FBI gets the allegation that this has occurred, and they look at Papadopoulos, by Andrew McCabe's own testimony, he says, we knew that George Papadopoulos didn't have any contacts with Russia. If you knew that, why did you open up on him? You know it's the dead end.
Why was the entire Crossfire hurricane predicated on the July? They said the July 31st opening of that investigation rested solely on George Papadopoulos and what he told Mifsud. Mifsud, who we now know, based on John getting that deposition from the attorney, now is more than likely connected to Western intelligence. Also, Simona Papadopoulos is her own testimony. She knew Mifsud way before and was and had dealt with Link University.
And then there's this whole peculiar instance of George Papadopoulos, who was I never met him. I was in Trump Tower, never saw this guy, low-level volunteer for the Trump campaign, who meets with an Australian diplomat who, when he was the Secretary of State of Australia, managed to get millions of dollars donated to the Clinton Foundation.
$25 million.
Right.
Yeah, $25 million. Big chunk of change. And he has a chat with George Papadopoulos in London, in which, what is the allegation? What did Papadopoulos allegedly tell this Australian diplomat?
Oh, he basically told the Australian diplomat that he knew that the Russians had all these
emails,
you know, that basically there was that. Now, that was the alleged story. Papadopoulos says he never said such a thing, not to that extent whatsoever. And now we know that Simona had said that even with when it comes to Mifsud, his connections to Western intelligence as well and the United States, that's why he's disappeared. Yes.
So I don't want our listeners, busy people out there, millions of people driving to work, at lunch or whatever. Let me tell you my take and tell me if I'm missing something. So what Americans need to understand, Americans who could be caught up in the next illegal surveillance of U.S. citizens, is that there was a concerted effort to entrap people on the periphery of the Trump campaign to justify a surveillance of a political campaign. That's pretty much the length of it, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
guys.
It.
And I think in the beginning, remember, in late 15, early 16, what is Hillary Clinton dealing with? She's dealing with the fallout from Peter Schweitzer's book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She has a Russia problem.
The Clinton...
Clinton Cash. Clinton Cash. She has a Russia problem. The bill took $500,000 while she's doing this. Millions flow into the Clinton Foundation. She needs to neutralize this issue at the beginning of her candidacy. I think when we're done, we're going to find out a lot of what happened in the spring of 2016 was an effort to neutralize the Russia issue so that Donald Trump couldn't use it. And then it spins off into an FBI investigation, a special counsel, a political dirty trick.
We have to talk about Mueller. Is Clinton immune because of her last name? As American citizens, what do you think?
I think there's we've seen examples of two-tiered justice throughout this process. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, unless somebody has direct charges and has information on her, that evidence that can prove that she committed was directly responsible for a crime, I don't know if we'll ever see that justice.
Is Lady Justice blindfolded?
She has a blindfold on, but it doesn't mean she can't be questioned. Listen, John Podesta just made her a fact witness. What did you know? When did you know it about the Steele dossier? Thanks to John Podesta, we have her as a fact witness now.
What did Hillary, what did Obama know, and when did they know it? That is the question of the day for us here on our Obamagate special.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is marking its season of hope, and they need your help. The foundation is honoring America's heroes by donating 36 homes in 36 days. That's one home a day from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. Tunnel to Towers is gifting homes in more than 24 states across our nation. They're bringing hope to great Americans, our catastrophically injured veterans, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families. The foundation is giving thanks to all of those who have sacrificed so much for us, and to the many people like you across this country who have supported their efforts to honor our nation's heroes. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Donate $11 a month by going to t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T2T.org. Help bring hope to America's heroes and their families. Thank you.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
Sometimes we get audio clips for our sponsors, for our campaigns, and sometimes we get something that leaves us speechless. And that's what happened last week when we heard the voices of two children who had received gifts through the Prison Fellowship Angel Tree program because they had a parent in prison. And I just want you to hear it again.
Spending time with my family and knowing that my dad cares. He's sending me all these gifts thanks to you. And I really like to thank you for it.
I like the presents that my dad sent me. I know that you guys care and he cares. So I just want to thank you for that. And I love Christmas. Thank you, Angel Tree, for doing all that you do. Because you don't have to do this, but you choose to do it. And I really appreciate it.
If that doesn't just talk straight into your soul, into your heart, nothing will. Please be part of this incredible program that provides a Christmas gift, a Bible, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. Go to sebgorka.com, click on the Angel Tree banner, or call them directly at 888-206-2794. That's 888-206-2794. $22 provides a gift, $220 provides 10 children with a ray of hope this Christmas. Please go to sebgorka.com and click on the Angel Tree banner. Make a difference today for a child or children in America. We are returning to our special conversation of the Mike Flynn case with none other than Sarah Carter and John Solomon and the incredible story of the operation we'd never seen the likes of before, a tri-agency operation to take down a three-star general, former director of the DIA, Mike Flynn.
Something we haven't discussed, that wasn't that a chilling, Chuck Schumer, the intelligence community will come after you? in America, John?
And they did. The intelligence community gave us both the Ukraine scandal and the Russia scandal, two very partisan, overt political dirty tricks foisted upon the American people and President Trump.
Let me be clear from the point of history, and then it's all yours, Sarah. We have never had, in the history of the Republic, a tri-agency counterintelligence operation against a political candidate, which is what happened. Operation Crossfire Hurricane wasn't an FBI gig. It was an FBI, CIA, NSA counterintelligence operation against the Trump campaign. That is Venezuela. That's North Korea.
Oh, it is, because it was all based on information that they actually concocted and made up. So it was a full operation. It wasn't as if they stumbled across something and suspected and then thought, we'll use this for a benefit.
Right.
They actually concocted and made up all of the allegations against the Trump administration. Then they fed it to the mainstream media and their allies throughout the globe, both in the United States and overseas.
Yes.
And they created a disinformation campaign, which, by the way, and I've said this to you before, Sebastian, you would have to have lethal authority, a presidential signature. If I were to run this type of disinformation campaign against a foreign leader, let's say I work for the CIA, I'm going to run an operation against, let's just say, Saddam Hussein. I would literally have to have lethal authority to run this campaign. Why? Because disinformation also kills.
Let me be clear, having done some work with the guys at USASOC and SOCOM, it is harder to get a sign-off on an IO operation, a psychological information operation, harder to get a sign-off from SecDef or POTUS than killing a terrorist with a drone. It's just a fact. So you're absolutely right. In the last 2 minutes we have in this segment, Sean, this is a personal question I'm going to ask you. We haven't rehearsed anything, but it's just on the back of what Sarah just said. Is this why you created Just the News? Because of what's happened the last 3 years?
Yeah, a lot of it is. I mean, I watched my own news industry become an aider and abettor of a false story and not become and be unwilling to come to grips with that. It's one thing to have gotten taken for a ride. The CIA is good and the FBI is good. Maybe they fooled you. But when you realized you were wrong and you didn't stop and stand and say, I was wrong, you didn't provide the evidence, you didn't retract your stories, that's when that became inspired to start something new.
Has anybody apologized in the media for propagating Russia collusion? Has one of the big...
Maybe Mike Isikoff. He basically said, I think I had it wrong, that the Steele dossier...
But what about all the TV hosts every night? The Rachel Maddow?
Never.
Nothing. Zero.
Nope. Well, the people who got Pulitzer Prizes for
the New
Russia...
York Times? Front page stories. I mean, front page stories that are demonstrably false. Crazy.
Incredible. Get real information. Follow her, Sarah A. Carter, D.C., sarahacarter.com. Also, John Solomon at J. Solomon Reports. And also his, I love having a buddy who's got his own news agency. I just feel so. I've got a personal physician now, and I've got a buddy who's got his own news agency. What do I need now? I don't know. Maybe a guy who makes railroads. It's called Just the News, justthenews.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka, back to discuss where Robert Mueller fits into all of this delusion, collusion, lying, and propaganda.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Something that we haven't mentioned, the day's almost half gone, and we have to touch upon this, and that's Robert Mueller, where the special counsel fits into this. I've got my own theory I want to ask you guys, but first, who is really running that, John?
You know, all the evidence is that Andrew Weissman, his deputy, was running
large. And who's he?
So a longtime career Justice Department prosecutor, somebody that was involved in some other controversial prosecutions.
That's putting it mildly.
Yes, that Sidney Powell writes about in her book so eloquently. But he's the guy that a couple months before he's appointed, he's meeting with the AP reporters to get dirt on Paul Manafort.
Right.
Even though he's not overseeing the Paul Manafort investigation. He seems to be the Forrest Gump of this investigation. He shows up in
everywhere.
So many different places. You get the sense that he had a great personal investment in this investigation.
What is your take? There are these conspiracy theories that, he was acting this. Whenever he was asked about details on the congressional testimony, I can't remember. I don't know. We have these conspiracy theories that, he was acting some kind of mental incapacity.
Do you mean that Robert Mueller was yeah. acting? No, I think he really actually
was not in control.
Was not in control, and I think that Andrew Weissman utilized that to his benefit, and so did everyone else with the prosecution. Remember also that Rod Rosenstein, his hands aren't clean here either. I mean, when you think of the DOJ and you think of his role and how he played in it, John and I and you were just, we were all just talking about this. Signs off on the last FISA warrant to spy on Carter Page. That was
look
Rod
Rosenstein.
I
microphone.
Know, I do this all the time. Rod
and
Rosenstein.
Got two guys who can
I know,
look at
I'm
look
looking
at this
back
one.
And forth,
look
back
at this
and forth.
One.
But then you look at this, and then you look at how Andrew Weissman, Jeannie Rhee, all of these players work together. And I felt sorry for Robert Mueller. There's no way he could have done an acting job that great before Congress. He really was lost.
He didn't know who Fusion GPS was.
Right.
Yes.
This was all
kind
of
Fusion GPS, all central to the Steele dossier.
Yes. That's right.
Just
right.
a little important.
Yeah. Okay, then let me give you my theory, and I'm going to test it. You're going to be my sanity check, John and Sarah. As far as I'm concerned.
You're in trouble.
And it built upon what you told me in the break, actually, John, so I want to give you full credit. Nobody took Donald Trump, the candidate, seriously on the left. He was mocked, he was pilloried, and therefore he wasn't taken seriously as a threat. But the Russia thing was an issue.
Right.
They had to get Hillary, as you said in the last segment, it had to be taken off the table.
Right.
Therefore, this whole crossfire hurricane thing begins. Then he actually starts knocking off the GOP candidates. He becomes the choice, and he's a real threat. And all the things that have been illegally done, the FISA warrants, the Steele dossier, DNC and Hillary paying for this information from foreign sources, that has to be covered up. Mm-hmm. And my argument is when Mueller went in to interview for his old job back, people forget this. Mueller went to President Trump
to get to be
FBI director again.
Right.
My old boss said, you're not really up to it. I want fresh blood. The next day, Rod Rosenstein, within 24 hours, makes him, his buddy Mueller, special prosecutor, which arguably, as far as I'm concerned, is potentially more powerful than a president because you can take down a president as special prosecutor. That's their ticket. Mueller becomes, it's like that film, you know, Leo the Professional. He becomes the cleanup guy. Mueller is the cleanup guy. Take down the president and hide all the crimes that we did. Is that, am I in a Stanley Kubrick movie or is that plausible?
I think history will look back at Robert Mueller as a guy that should have jammed the brakes on and say, this is silly. I'm the gray-haired guy here. We don't prosecute this sort of crap.
Right.
And instead, he's sustained it for 2 years, and he sustained it by 2 years by basically checking out and
allowing others to join. Go ahead. So, am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy at all. I think absolutely 100% that's what happened. And I think what John said is true. I think he checked out. I think Andrew Weissman ran this. Remember, he's shrewd. Andrew Weissman is a shrewd prosecutor. He has no problem doing what he has to do to try to win. Doesn't matter if he walks all over everybody else to do it, right? And that's been proven from the cases he worked on at SDNY in the Southern District of New York. That's been shown in Sidney Powell's book, License to Lie.
Right.
So we know Andrew Weissman isn't afraid. He's going to do whatever he has to do. But you're right. They had to create something, which is a special counsel, in order to cover up for all their malfeasance.
Right.
They needed somebody to justify everything that happened. What they didn't expect was for us to continue investigating and Congress to continue investigating. They expected people to give up because they didn't believe that President Trump would have that kind of authority and backing coming from people not only within the administration but without it. And that was where they made their fatal mistake. They just didn't see it coming.
And this chap, Weissman, this is an individual who, on more than one occasion, am I wrong, has had his actions reversed by the Supreme Court of the United States.
9-0 in one case, yeah. Absolutely.
9-0.
Yeah.
Because of what he had done, the travesty of what he had done in terms of prosecuting people who should not have been prosecuted.
The most telling thing, when you look at the Flynn case, which is just one of the many Mueller prosecutions, we charged a man or threatened to charge him and got him to agree to plead guilty to a crime where he said he denied talking to Ambassador Kislyak, the Russian ambassador, about sanctions.
Right.
But if you read the FBI memo, he actually says it was a possibility. I just don't remember. That's not a denial. We made a crime out of something that he did not say.
And the two agents who were sent by Jim Comey to interview Mike Flynn,
Peter Strzok and
they said in their notes, that they didn't think that Mike Flynn was lying to him, to them, when they took that interview. Stunning, stunning. Mm-hmm. Let's just play that. Let's squeeze it in. Do we have much time? We have. Yeah, I'm going to do this. Let's play video cut three, because this is Jim Comey admitting to what he did. Jim Comey admitting to what he did and people laughing about it. Cut three.
You look at this White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the same room. How did that happen?
I sent them. Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, in the George W. Bush administration, for example, or the Obama administration. In both of those administrations, there was process. And so if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals, and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
I hope he's getting some very good lawyers, lawyers that will be more expensive than the Covington lawyers that Mike Flynn had to pay millions of dollars to, because that man needs to be nailed to the wall legally. He just admitted he broke procedure and he sent those agents, and that was the trap that was used to try and take down the National Security Advisor. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on our special three-hour Obamagate episode.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Humans love stories, don't we? Whether it's nursery rhymes at bedtime, whether it's the ancient classics, or whether it's stories of heroes and villains today. And my, does this story of the deep state have so many of them? Let's continue our discussion with John Solomon and the one and only Sarah Carter on who the real heroes are. We are back. I just have one question to ask you. When I worked for Breitbart as their national security editor, I was told by the big bosses, every story has got to have heroes and villains. We have a lot of villains, too many to shake a stick at. Who are the heroes that we have to recognize?
Well, I'm sitting next to one right here. Listen,
you
Sarah.
Too, of course.
I'll tell you a story about Sarah, because I've never told this story before. When the first calls came in that maybe Mike Flynn was being set up, I remember her coming to me, and I'm like, nah, no way. There's no way this would be the – it just sounds too good to be true. And she was determined and stuck to it. And that's what makes a great reporter.
It's a great story.
It is. It's the truth.
Yeah, that, well, that is true. I remember John and I because we would ping things off of each other. Yep. And I did. I remember
you guys at the beginning in the green room. We'd be like, you guys are every
night.
Yeah,
I remember running to John and saying to John, absolutely, I believe that. And you said Andrew
guys,
McCabe.
Guys, enough mutual admiration. Apart from you guys.
I'll throw you one. Devin Nunes. Listen, the man went through an ethics investigation.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. Devin Nunes.
You got one?
Oh, Sidney Powell.
Mike Flynn's new attorney.
I think that she's done remarkable as far as fighting for Mike Flynn. Yeah. I think Jim Jordan,
yes.
Mark Meadows, if we're going to talk about Radcliffe, John Radcliffe, who is now hopefully,
Grinnell. We wouldn't get
Rick Grinnell, Ambassador
Grinnell,
those recent declassifications, absolutely.
Tom Fitton,
Tom Fitton, Judicial Watch.
Judicial Watch, yep.
Guys, just these names are super important. If you want to have reliable information, if you want to know who's fighting for the truth, Jim Jordan, Devin Nunes, Radcliffe, the guys at Judicial Watch.
Some great stories at the Federalist.
Yes,
Molly Hemingway,
Margot Cleveland.
Right. Yep.
This is
Byron
important.
York.
We have to recognize these people.
Byron York, Charlie Hurt.
Okay. Please, yeah. Who have we missed out? Who are the couple of good guys on Capitol Hill?
Oh, my God.
Lee Stefanik.
Yep. John Radcliffe early on was very important.
And also from Texas. Who's our buddy?
Gohmert.
Louis Gohmert.
Okay. How could we forget? What about the Senate side?
Not Trey Gowdy.
We're going to hit Trey Gowdy.
And I'm sorry, Lindsey Graham. We have a phrase when I grew up in the UK, Lindsey Graham, all talk and no trousers.
Yeah.
Okay, enough of the subpoenas. Where are they? Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson.
Ron Johnson.
Good stuff. Yep. And if we forgot you, it's because
we're just too busy. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. The hour just flew by. We have to have you back. We're going to be here for, I don't know, a day. Let's have a whole day. This is a massive podcast that Joe Rogan Chappie will have nothing on us. We'll do 12 hours straight with Sarah and John. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Next up, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Daniel Hoffman, Greg Jarrett. What a day. It's called #ObamaGate.